The English journalist and writer Misha Glenny is perhaps best known for his work covering the disintegration of Yugoslavia and the hit 2008 book MacMafia. His first book, The Rebirth of History, published in 1990, focused on the post-communist political landscape of Eastern Europe, including Czechoslovakia, a country with which he had a close association. Indeed, Misha Glenny had studied Czech in Prague and remembers with fondness his time here in the early 80s. When we spoke recently at the close of the Forum 2000 conference in the city, he recalled his very first visit towards the end of 1980.
I'll never forget seeing, you know, the Rude Pravo building, all the slogans about Se Sovietskim Svazem na vyechne chasy and these sorts of things. And it was incredibly sort of Cold War romantic sort of thing. And I knew I had to learn a Slav language. My father spoke Russian very well. And so I thought, I will come back and instead of learning Russian, I will learn Czech. And I applied for and got a British Council scholarship to be here from September 1981 through to June 1982. So I was here for 10 months, na Petřinách, at the Kolej up there. And, God, it was wonderful. It was probably the most wonderful year of my life, even though it was kind of miserable because it was mature normalization. So, you know, everything was very irritating. But, you know, I was young, I was footloose and fancy free. I learned Czech. I got in touch with the opposition, you know, had all sorts of adventures. It was fab.
Did you come back many times between then and 1989?
I came back a lot after I'd been there because I had friends and so on, and they couldn't come and see me, obviously. And then in 1986, I moved to Vienna and became, first of all, a correspondent there for The Guardian. And then at the beginning of 1989, I was appointed to the BBC Central Europe correspondent job. So I traveled from Vienna to Prague all the time, back and forth, reporting.
And there were no restrictions on you as a foreign reporter?
Well, I had to apply for my povolenie, my permit and so on. And but, no, this is, you know, pretty much, this is post-Helsinki. And so we had quite a lot of freedom. I was arrested a couple of times and then... I was on the May the 1st demonstration in 1989. I was beaten up somewhat by the STB, by the secret police, and thrown in prison for a day or so. But on the whole, we were able to dig quite deep in terms of what was going on, not just the stories about the dissidents and what was happening in the party, but also a lot of social stories where you kind of felt things were changing. I mean, we were all expecting the change. I have, you know, unlike most intelligence agencies in the West, we knew that the end was near because everything was just falling apart. Not so much here in Czechoslovakia, but certainly in Poland and Hungary was unsustainable as well.
What are your strongest memories of the actual revolution itself here?
It was just amazing. It was quite bad weather, you know, from November 17th onwards. And I was driving backwards and forwards the whole time between Prague and Bratislava because I felt nothing was being covered in Slovakia and that you needed to do that. So I would, you know, rush from one demo in Bratislava then up to a demo in Prague. And it was fantastic, you know, because I knew Dienstbe, I knew Havel, I knew most of the new government. And so I knew what was happening in terms of who was going to be in the new government, how it's going to be formed, what the party was doing. It was just professionally the most spectacular time of my life. And I also thought, and personally as well, you know, I mean, look, I was a BBC reporter, but I thought the communist system here in Czechoslovakia was particularly stupid in many respects. And I wasn't sad to see it go. So professionally and personally, it was just wonderful, the whole thing. Of course, what I hadn't anticipated was what I was really gearing up for at the time, which was the wars in Yugoslavia, which was really, you know, from the sublime to the utterly tragic, this whole thing. And also, I was deeply disappointed with the split between the Czech lands and Slovakia. I thought that was unnecessary, and I'm glad to see that Slovakia came into the European Union in 2004 as well, and that effectively now there is no tension between the two parts.
Is it my imagination, or did I read somewhere that during the revolution people chanted your name here?
It is true. I was going, this was on, I think this was on about the 19th or the 20th. There was a demo which began way up near the bridge, you know, the bridge across the valley that leads to the Palazzo Cultori. They started there, and I was sort of darting backwards and forwards, rushing here and there. And at the time, my voice was very well known. And somebody said, oh, look, it's Misha Glennie, it's Misha Glennie. And then they all started chanting, Adjia Misha Glennie, Adjia Misha Glennie, which I thought was most amusing. Unfortunately, I didn't get it on tape.
How do you feel all these years later when you come back here and you see how things have developed?
Well, you know, I find the advertising a bit much and a lot of the sort of commercialism of the city centre. Although, having said that, I find it's very easy to get out of the commercialism in the city centre and just going to some of the, you know, districts outside, you can find the same pub atmosphere. You can still get drunk for very little money, which, you know, as a student, that was part of the entertainment. Now, of course, I'm much more sober and sensible than that. You know, if you have friends, if you know people in the city, you can still get a sense of what it was like before. And there is this, you know, there was this fantastic sort of communist aesthetic where it was all rather grim and boring, but you saw the buildings, which were fantastically beautiful. Prague was a very different experience from somewhere like Bucharest, which is just was so depressing. And Prague was depressing, but you could always find ways of lightening things up, usually through the people. These days, I have to say, I'm not hugely enamored of the political culture. I think that the whole class phenomenon is one which I find, frankly, quite unappealing. And I also think that Václav Havel, you know, although his heart was in the right place, turned out to be a rather bad politician in terms of tactical and strategic sense. So it hasn't been as effective as a country as it might have been. But it is still, you know, Czechs are still, in relative terms, very hardworking, very creative, and an interesting bunch. Just one observation, which is very odd. Of course, London is now flooded with Poles. Wherever you go, there are Poles absolutely everywhere. Very few Czechs come to live and work in London, and not that many in Germany. Obviously, there are more in Germany, but it's interesting. I mean, they're more content in their own skins, the Czechs, in a way, than the Poles are. And that, I think, is to do with the underlying economic strength, relatively, of Bohemia and Moravia.
Have you maintained friendships with people you knew here 30 years ago?
Yes, I have. In fact, last night when I was drinking with the pop idol star Ondřej Hejma. You know, he's a great lad from the old days. He's going to be 60 next year. Can you imagine? And one of the chief organizers of Forum 2000, which I'm attending now, Olda Czerny. When Olda, before the revolution, was head of dubbing at Barrandov Studio, we used to translate films together. So I helped him translate Alien into Czech. And I remember also doing Time Bandits as well, which the authorities then banned because the final scene includes a supreme being, and they decided this was offending the atheist sensibilities of the party. So that never got through. But we had a great time doing it. And, of course, after that, there was nothing to do, so we'd just go off drinking and playing cards. And we had the time of our lives. So there are people like Olda and Andre who I still see, and other people, and it's great. I mean, their lives are completely different now, of course, and so is mine. But it's, you know, it's really nice having a touch of the old nostalgia now and then.